Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Mara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. A pumper-packed program coming your way this Thursday morning live from our studios in Lanesia, Johannesburg, South Africa. Well, here's what you can look forward to. We commence with a lovely inspiration. Thereafter, we go on to the health segment and its amazing uses and benefits of mint, we also known as Fujina. Then we actually leave out the homemaking segment, but we go on to the cooking and baking segment. And Sister Rabia Umar is my guest in the studio today, and she's the author of many recipe books as well. And Assalamu alaikum, Rabia. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I am good. How are you, Amara?
Alhamdulillah. Glad to have you back in the studio with us again today.
Jazakallah for calling me. Alhamdulillah. I've had an overwhelming response to my last program here at Radio Islam. Jazakallah once again for calling me on to the studio.
Well, it's a pleasure, and our theme today is, listeners, guess what? I've been longing to do something on Indian sweetmeats and mithais, and Sister Rabia is an expert in making mithais, so she's going to be telling us all about making mithais, the history behind mithais, different types of mithais as well, and tips to avoid when actually making the mithais. So, and we also got some lovely recipes we're going to be sharing with you. We've got a parfait recipe, a magat recipe, and also a gulab jambo recipe, so you can look forward to a lovely program this morning. And the question we're asking you today is, what is your earliest memories of mithai? That's the Indian sweetmeats. What is your earliest memories of mithai? And the SMS and WhatsApp number is 082-565-8648. You can send me a tweet, Amara at Radio Islam, or follow me on Instagram, it's Amara_Mullah. I thought I'd actually begin today's program with a lovely inspiration, and it goes like this: never underestimate Allah's mercy and power. A young man's mother was hospitalized. She was put in intensive care. A few days later, the doctors told him the truth. Her condition was hopeless. She could expire at any moment. He left from the hospital distraught about his mother. On his way returning to visit his mother, he stopped at a gas station. As he was waiting for the attendant to fill up his tank, he noticed that a cat had a new litter under a cardboard box. They could barely walk. He pondered, who would feed them under these circumstances, and went into the store. He bought tuna, opened the can for them, and continued on his way to the hospital. When he entered the intensive care, his mother wasn't there anymore. He dropped what was in his hands and rushed to ask the nurse, where is she? She said she got better, so we moved her to the next room. He went to his mother, whom he found fully alert. He greeted her and asked what happened. She said that she saw, while she was unconscious, a cat and her kittens with their hands extended towards the heavens, praying for her. The young man stood there in amazement. Praise to the one whose compassion is all-encompassing. Praise to Allah, almsgiving repels calamities by Allah's permission. Heal your sick through almsgiving. This is just a can of tuna. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, protect yourselves from the hellfire even with a half a date. Subhanallah. Make this your first act of generosity. Well, what a lovely inspiration.
Subhanallah. Beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go for beautiful. A break now. When we come back, amazing uses and benefits of mint. Stay tuned.
लपे आती है दुआ बन के तमन्ना मेरी
लपे आती है दुआ बन के तमन्ना मेरी
जिंदगी शम की सूरत हो खुदाया मेरी
जिंदगी शम की सूरत हो खुदा
से यूं ही मेरे वतन
کی زینت جس طرح پھول سے ہوتی ہے چمن کی زینت زندگی ہو میری پروان کی صورت یا رب علم کی شمع سے ہو مجھ کو محبت یا رب زندگی شمع کی صورت ہو خدایا میری
لپے آتی ہے دعا بن کے تمنا میری لپے آتی ہے دعا بن کے تمنا
Let's begin with amazing uses and the benefits of mint. Now, we also know mint as fujina. Now, mint, scientifically known as menta, is a herb that has been used since long for its different health benefits. It is an indispensable element of most of the Indian cuisines and also Thai platters. The modest mint leaves can be used in a variety of things, like one can crush them and add in tea, one can use it in salads as well. Mint is an essential ingredient in many Indian and Middle Eastern cuisines and is popularly mixed with natural plain yogurt to make a raita or brewed with tea to make the famous Indian fujina chai. In Thai cooking, it is added to soups and to some highly spiced curries. Mint grown in Asia is much more strongly flavored than most European mints, with a sweet, cool aftertaste. And let's look at some of the health benefits. It's actually good for digestion, and you can actually make yourself a nice mint tea as well. It's good for nausea and headaches. Again, the strong and refreshing aroma of mint is a quick and effective remedy for nausea. Even just the smell of mint oil or freshly crushed mint leaves or the use of any product with mint flavor, and your stomach issues will be elevated. In fact, many people keep menthol oil or mint flavors flavored products or sweets with them at all times to avoid nausea. Then you get different types of balms with a mint base or basic mint oil. When rubbed on the forehead and nose, gives quick relief in case of headache. And it's also good for respiratory disorders and coughs as well. And it's good for asthma as well. For breastfeeding, for many women, breastfeeding is a beautiful part of raising a child, but it can seriously damage your breasts and nipples. Studies have shown that mint oil can reduce the nipple cracks and nipple pain that so often accompany breastfeeding. Then it's good for depression and fatigue. Mint is a natural stimulant, and the smell alone can be enough to charge your batteries and get your brain functioning on a high level again. Then if you are feeling sluggish, anxious, depressed, or simply exhausted, mint as its essential oils can help you a lot. It can be ingested, applied topically in a salve form, or inhaled as a vapor, and all of these techniques can give you a much needed boost. Now, here are some tips on mint. Ravi, how do you actually store your mint?
I usually don't store mint. I like the fresh variety, but if you want to store it, the best would be to dry it. Best way to dry it would be to put it on a paper towel, leave it in the sun until it gets nice and dry and crispy, then store it. But once again, the fresh variety is a lot better than the dried one. Whenever possible, I try to use the fresh one, and if not available, then I sometimes do use the dry one, but I highly recommend the fresh one.
Mm-hmm. And you find that, if you plant mint,
I've got mint in my garden, I don't ever have a problem, you know.
Especially the lovely rains we're getting now, you see them all coming out all the time.
Well, I have it all the time, so it's not really a problem.
Mm-hmm. Except like in winter.
For those that are having a bit of a problem in getting it, or, you know, in buying it, you've got to buy it or go out of your way to get it, you can always keep the dried variety. If you don't want to do it at home, spice shops usually do keep the dried variety. You can just keep some of that, so, you know, in case of what kind of quality emergency, you've got it there already.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, you know, go out to the store the last minute and look for it and things like that.
Yes. And also to store fresh mint leaves, carefully wrap them in a damp paper towel and place inside a loosely closed plastic bag. Store in the fridge where it should be kept fresh for several days. Dried mint should be kept in a tightly sealed glass container in a cool, dark and dry place where it will keep fresh for about 9 to 12 months, which are dried mint. Now, I don't think actually mint can basically last very long in the fridge either.
No, it won't. It will get black, it loses its scent, and it just ends up getting soggy. So most of the time it just gets thrown away. Mm-hmm. So that is why, you know, the dried version would be a lot better than keeping the fresh one for a long time.
Absolutely, yes. And what dishes actually is mint ideal to use?
Mint? Yeah, in my regards, mint is actually digestive. It's used mostly in meals that are difficult to digest. That is one of the properties of mint. In Indian cooking, it is vastly used mainly because we use a lot of legumes, dals, you know, things like that. That is why we add the mint and coriander leaves. It helps in the digestion process. Our Indian foods are usually quite oily, they're rich, they contain a lot of chili. All that upsets the digestive system. That is why these herbs are added in to help digest the food. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of problem where, you know, the children say we don't want these things in the food, but they don't realize the true benefit of these herbs.
Mm-hmm.
The more you put, the merrier. Let me put it that way. Mint is very, you know, it's got a very strong taste. So you cannot add it more than the usual amount.
Yes.
Whereas coriander, if you add a little bit extra, it does no harm to the dish. It enhances the flavor and it improves digestion a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually a lovely green for garnishing as well.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's ideal in your savories as well.
Definitely is.
Mm-hmm. And you find if you go into the Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia, and they actually love to put mint leaves in their tea.
Yeah. It's a soothing drink.
Very soothing.
It's a soothing beverage. So mint tea is considered, as you've mentioned earlier, it does help the body in a lot of ways. Firstly, nausea. It does help alleviate nausea. It calms down your body's whole system. The other thing that it does help with is headaches.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you could have a headache that would, you know, take ages to go. You're popping pills and things like that, but the headache wouldn't settle. And a nice cup of soothing mint tea can do a lot of good to that. And another thing you might have noticed is mint is used a lot in mocktails and cocktails.
Absolutely.
Mojitos, the same thing. The main reason being it's a cooling and a digestive agent. That is why it's used. And, you know, the bonus is that it's got a good flavor as well.
Jazakallah for that. Let's go for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go on to the cooking and baking segment. And like I said earlier on today, our theme is on Indian sweetmeats and mithais, all about making mithais, the history, different types of mithais, the art of making mithais, and tips to avoid when making mithais as well. And our question today is, what is your earliest memories of mithai? You can share that with us. We're not taking live callers today because we want to, you know, tell you about, all about mithais, but you can take. We will be taking your SMSs and your WhatsApps. That's 082-565-8648. Tweet at Amara Radio Islam or on Instagram, Amara_Mullah. Stay tuned.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Looking for a good household remedy? Look no further than Herbal Balm.
Pero badom, uduke.
My legs, they feel like they're on fire.
My thigh, I think I pulled a muscle.
And my little one, he's glowing. He feels so miserable all the time.
And I twisted my ankle playing soccer last week.
Why don't you try Herbal Balm for natural, competent treatment with no side effects? Herbal Balm for instant relief from almost anything. Call Khurshid on 072-247-3811.
This is Household Express on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the cooking segment of the program. And we're talking about sweetmeats and meat ties. And Rabia is my guest in the studio. And Sister Rabia is the author of many recipe books as well. And she's also on Instagram. Rabia, tell us about your Instagram account as well.
My Instagram account is author_RabiaUmar, RABIAUMAR.
Now, when you are first introduced to Indian food, it's not uncommon to be surprised when dessert arrives at the table. Indian sweets bear little resemblance to traditional Western desserts, and not having a point of fresh reference can make it hard to decipher what's on your plate and how to eat it. But while it's easy to be perplexed about that plate of diamond-shaped barfi or a bowl of sirupi gulab jamuns, an adventurous foodie quickly discovers the addictive quality of Indian sweets at your Indian mitais. Just one bite and those fragrant and exotic Indian desserts suddenly becoming something you crave, especially during festive occasions like Eid and weddings. And, you know, we have so much of other occasions, yes. And so most Indian sweets, that's mitais, aren't baked. Instead, they are cooked on a stovetop or even on an open fire. And tell us more about mitais, Sister Rabia. What exactly is a mitai, sweet meat, and name some of them?
Any guesses, anyone? If you come from an Indian household, Asian household, I think everybody, old, young, should know what mitai is. However, let me explain to you. Mitai is a word used for Indian sweets. The list is endless. I will start by mentioning the popular ones. Well, 90% of the population like barfi. Then it's chana magaj, larwa, also known as laddu, mohan thal, kaju katli, Bombay halwa, Karachi halwa, jalebi, gulab jamun, mesur pak. The list is tremendous. It just goes on and on.
Yes. And what would you say are the top mitais that are consumed and prepared by South Africans?
South Africans are generally very well known for preparing mitais. The most popular one and everyone's favorite is barfi, laddu, magaj, sutarfini. But I think the one that is prepared mostly in most of the households, you know, everybody probably has attempted it. I don't know about you, Amara, but a lot of people have attempted barfi. That is one popular mitai in our homes.
And, you know, you're talking about barfi. There's so many different types of barfi. But we'll come back to that again.
Okay.
Now, Rabia, is the making of mitais a mission?
Certain mitais can be termed as a mission, like sutarfini and Bombay halwa. The majority of mitais, however, will be considered time-consuming rather than being termed as a mission. They are very timely and they could be very tiring at times because of the preparation involved. But other than that, I wouldn't say it's a mission. If you like doing things in the kitchen, if you are the type of person that could go through any, anything to get something done, then it would not be a mission for you. Whereas if you're the type that wouldn't be much bothered about doing anything in the kitchen, then it probably might just end up being a mission for you.
So the making of mitai certainly has an art to it. Tell us more.
It definitely has. The main concept will be the method in making it and the quality and quantity of ingredients used. If your recipe and method is good, then it's most likely that you will receive a satisfactory end result. So that is the main thing in making mitai. Have a good recipe, you end up with a good end result.
Sorry, who taught you to make mitais?
Three-letter word, mum.
Oh, lovely, yes. I haven't attempted mitais yet. You know, I want to try, like how you just told me earlier on, and I have to try the barfi recipe, and I'm going to share today, so inshallah I will.
Inshallah.
Okay, what would you say are some of the important tips when making your mitais, like barfi and magach?
For barfi, I would say the texture should be right and the syrup should be of correct consistency. For magach, the main aspect is the braising of the chana flour in ghee. It has to be braised to correct temperature. There is no exact time for that. You have to follow your instinct and judge when the gram flour is braised enough. So it's not about... I can't necessarily tell you it's going to take 15 minutes on high heat or 10 minutes on 10 minutes on high heat or 20 minutes on medium heat. It's more a matter of instinct. So you have to braise the chana flour to the correct desired temperature. Until it is the perfect temperature, then you remove from heat. If it's undercooked, your magach is not going to taste well, and if it's overcooked, you're going to get a burnt taste. So that is the tricky part about making chana magach.
Do you make it an electric stove or gas stove?
I prefer using gas.
Gas.
Yes.
Lovely. Okay. Now, share with us some tips to avoid when making mitais.
Okay, first thing before we go on this one. There's a lot of people that are diabetics out there, and you know the diet word comes into our, you know, into our homes all the time. So when making mitais, there's no ifs and buts, you know, where you can say, okay, let me substitute the sugar for something else, like you know, like saccharine, or you know, make it sugar free, or let me cut down the ghee. It doesn't work like that. Mitai comes with specific ingredients and a specific way of making it. Don't try to cut down your ingredients, especially ghee, when making mitais. They do contain a lot of ghee, no doubt about that, and sugar. So if you are the type who is a diabetic or a diet freak, rather stay from it, stay away from it altogether, or have it in small portions than trying to correct the recipe. Well, if you want to try it, it's done at your own risk. I'm not going to say anything about that. But that is one thing that I feel, you know, a person should avoid when making mitais. Don't try and cut down the ghee and the sugar. That just changes the purpose of the mitai altogether.
Okay. Yes. And, yes, correct. You know what you... Actually, just saying now, it's so important, you know.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you feel you're diabetic, you need to cut on the ghee, and you but your mitai is not going to come out tasty.
It's not going to come out tasty.
You waste your ingredients, in fact.
If you're really concerned about your health, stay away from the mitai altogether.
Although moderation, you can have one.
There is something as moderation. There are certain people that can follow moderation, and there are certain people that would defy the law of moderation. They will say moderation, and the next thing is they're eating a plateful. And I know somebody like that very well. That's my dad. He would do exactly that. You tell him have a small piece of magach. He's sitting and you know he sit with a container. So you know. People like that, I mean, health comes first. Mitai is tasty, mitai is good. Nobody's denying that. But, yes, health comes first anytime.
Absolutely. Now, Rabia, are there any special utensils used when making mitais?
Not necessarily. It's the basic that we usually use in everyday cooking. However, you do get certain utensils for making of laddus. You get those big jaras and that. But, obviously, you can find a substitute to it. You don't necessarily have to go out into the store and buy all these things, especially... Not if you, especially if you're not the type of person that is going to be making mitai all the time. So it's useless on investing in something that is not going to be used all the time.
Yes. And now what would you say are the key ingredients used in making mitais?
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, the first key ingredient is ghee, followed by sugar. A lot of mitais contain milk powder or mawa, cardamom, also known as ilachi powder, saffron, gram flour, almonds, and you know, these are the basic things usually required in making mitais. For mitais, there is a very nice book written by Hafsa Kasak that I highly recommend. It's called Sweets and Treats. Very competitive, very good recipes, and the author is very good as well. So if anybody wants to go deeper into mitai making, I would recommend they get one of those books. She's got a range of lovely recipes in
there. For beginners as well,
yes. It's a perfect book. I highly recommend it.
Now, you know, Rabia, I know many parfaits are made with mawa. What actually is mawa?
Mawa, also known as koya, it is a milk that is boiled down into a mass, where, you know, the milk is boiled for a lengthy period of time until most of the water content in the milk evaporates, and it's just the milky, creamy content that's left at the end. That is what is called mawa. In a lot of countries, you get ready-made mawa. Unfortunately, in South Africa, it's not yet readily available.
Somebody said to me it is available. I'm not quite sure, but I just need to, I think they're selling it somewhere in Mayfair, but I'm not quite sure. I heard about last year or something sometime. I just need to confirm.
Really? Okay. I wouldn't be sure about that, but if you do get to know, let me be the first one to know
about
that.
But then again, your own homemade is your best.
It's definitely the best.
Yes.
But other thing in remembering when making mawa is we've got to use a proper fresh milk variety. The long life milk doesn't make a good mawa.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the best milk that I would say is going to the farms, and you know you get the farm fresh milk. That makes the best mawa, because you must remember it's not pasteurized, the cream is still in the milk, so you get a proper dense mawa at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you boil the sachet milk or you're going to use the long life variety, your mawa is going to be a lot drier. It's not going to be the perfect mawa that you're looking for. But anyways, mawa is mawa at the end of the day. It will serve the purpose. But just a tip that if you do want to make mawa, try and get the farm fresh milk to make the mawa.
Okay.
It's very time consuming. It can be very tiring. But if you want to do it, not a problem. A lot of people don't opt for mawa barfi anymore because of the long length, you know, the lengthy procedure in burning the milk and attaining the mawa. That is why in South Africa we've used the substitute of using milk powder instead of mawa.
Mm-hmm. You get different types of, you get like a Nespray and a Klim as well.
Yes, there's a difference between the two. Nespray seems to be a lot lighter in color.
Yes.
I prefer using Nespray, whereas Klim has got a bit of a darkish color. Your end result will end up a bit more beige than compared to the Nespray barfi. So I am a person that would rather use Nespray instead of Klim, whereas a lot of people would prefer the Klim. So there's no hard and fast rules on that.
Now let's talk about magaj. I think the secret to magaj is the stirring and braising
definitely
of the chana flour.
Definitely is. You've got to, as I mentioned before, you've got to braise it to the perfect temperature. If you undercook it, you're going to have a chana magaj that doesn't taste as good. And if you're going to overcook it, then you're going to get a burnt taste in your end result of your chana magaj.
Okay, now I think it's a silly question to ask you, but
no,
I think the one type of mitai is a sutarpini. That's really time consuming.
It is.
And many people don't make it because it's time consuming and everybody don't have a hand for sutarpini.
That's very true.
Sutarpini, do you make your own sutarpini?
Yes, I do. Sutarpini is something that can be very, very tricky. As you've mentioned, everybody doesn't have the hand for it. I don't know what it is, but initially, even when I learned, I had my mom... my mom had to be with me all the time and supervise and make sure that I'm doing it the right way. And yet there were times when you feel, this is a booby trap. And until now, I would still be a lot more confident if mom is with me when I'm making that sutarpini. It's just something about it. Because of the time involved, if you go through, you know, the whole preparation, you do everything. And the last thing is when you're frying the sutarpini, if those strands don't open up, trust me, you're going to want to sit and cry there all day. Because you went through all that effort. And then the main thing in the sutarpini is when you're frying it, those strands, those hair-like strands, they've got to open up. And if they stick together, you must know that all that is a waste of time.
Yes. And then another one, do you make jalebi as well?
Jalebi, not really. I have tried a few recipes, but I'm not yet very happy with the end result.
What would you say are the quickest and easiest mitais to make?
Barfi, one of them. This recipe that I use is really quite, really quick
Panda
to make.
Panda
as well. Gulab jambu, not very time consuming. I wouldn't say chana magaj is very time consuming as well. It's just that using the right temperatures and doing everything accordingly. These few, well, larwa, laddu, that is a bit time consuming.
So, laddu, yes, because now you've got to fry it and you've got to make
it in the syrup and then you've got to rest, let it rest for a couple of hours before you make them into the laddus. Other than that, most mitais do require a lot of patience.
Jazakallah for the tribe. Let's go to our WhatsApp and let's take the listener's response to the question. The question we asked, what is your earliest memories of mitai? This one says, Jazakallah to you and your guest. My first memories of mitai is when family members went to Durban and brought some. Shukar, now most of us make them at home. Oh, that's lovely for that, yes, sir. Okay, yes, Sister Ava says, Pilaros in Mayfair actually sells the mawa.
Really? Yeah, that's good. Mashallah, I think I've got
to go there and try it. I did hear that from as well.
Oh, okay.
And then we've got an SMS. This one says, my earliest sweetmeat memory, my dad feeding us kids spoonfuls of pink coconut ice that he used to make himself.
Oh, that's sweet.
And that's also quite easy to make.
Yes, it is. Koprapak, known in, we call it Koprapak, is quite easy to make as well, yeah.
Okay, let's go for a break. When we come back, we're going to be sharing with you all those lovely recipes. We've got a parfi, a mugaj, and a gulab jambu recipe. So you can get your pen and papers ready to jot down these lovely recipes. Stay tuned. Warahmatullahi wabarakatuh and welcome back. Yes, before the break, we were talking about sweetmeat, the mitais, and the history of it, the art of making mitais, steps to avoid making the mitais with my guest, Rabia Umar, who is an expert in making mitais. And you know, Rabia, there's so many people that actually make those lovely barfi parcels. Oh, it's so lovely.
They make
different types of shapes into flowers and all the decoration is divine.
It does look really nice.
And then again, not forgetting those who actually earn a living by making mitai. Let us forget those ladies actually who earn a living by making mitais.
Yes. There's a lot of them that make, make mitais for a living. Actually, I was on Instagram the other day and I've noticed there's an Instagram account going under Mohammadis.
Yes.
I see this lady makes beautiful mitais as well. But I think the unfortunate thing is that she's in Durban. She's not close to us. I think she's somewhere around the KwaZulu-Natal area, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe people should go onto her Instagram page and, check that page out.
Yes.
Beautiful mitais. She's really into it. She makes them really nice. If you go through her pictures, they're really awesome.
It is, yes.
Especially for engagements and weddings, you would want something like that.
Yes. Okay, let's now go on to our recipe segment. And we're going to begin with the first recipe. It's called the parfi recipe. Rabia.
Okay. Before I go on, I'd like to give credit for this barfi recipe to one of my mom's dad's friend. Her name is Fatima Ahmed Kadwa. She's based in Parlok, Durban. She gave me this recipe many years ago, and I find it to be foolproof, flopproof. I've never ever had a day when I made barfi and it didn't turn out right. So this recipe credit goes totally to Mrs. Kadwa. Jazakallah, if you're listening, Jazakallah for the recipe. Much appreciated. Okay, for the barfi, the ingredients are 500 gram Nespray Auckland, 155 gram canned Nestle cream. It's 500 gram Nespray Auckland. I prefer to use Nespray. 155 gram Nestle cream. You've got to mix this together and leave it overnight in fridge. The next morning, grind small batches in coffee grinder and sift it through a wire sieve. Mix together and leave overnight in fridge. Next morning, grind in small batches in coffee grinder and sift through wire sieve.
Okay. So basically, Rabia, you take your Nespray or your Clum, whichever you prefer.
Yes.
But you would prefer the Nespray.
Yes.
Okay. Then your tin of Nestle cream, and you mix it together and leave it overnight in the fridge.
Yes.
Okay. Then the next morning, you grind the coffee grinder, and you actually sift it through a wire sieve.
Yes.
Okay.
The reason that you keep it overnight in the fridge is to let the Nestle cream dry in with the Nespray milk powder. That way it gets a bit drier and it's easier to grind. So you leave it overnight, giving it that time to dry up with the Nespray, giving it more like a mawa texture.
Mm, okay, lovely. Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, you've got to prepare the syrup. It's 1 cup sugar, 1 cup water, 1 cup icing sugar, 125 grams of butter, and 1/4 teaspoon ilachi powder. I'll repeat that. It's 1 cup sugar, 1 cup water, 1 cup icing sugar, 125 grams butter, and 1/4 teaspoon ilachi powder. Boil all these ingredients together. Boil for 5 minutes. Time it. Please time it. Boil for 5 minutes once it starts boiling. That means when it starts boiling, look at the time, boil it for 5 minutes, and then remove from heat. Thereafter, add your milk powder mixture. Mix well and allow to set. You can pipe or decorate as desired. You can add a few drops of rose essence if you would like a bit of a rosy flavor. So, the method again, boil all syrup ingredients together. Boil for 5 minutes once it starts boiling. Remove from heat. Add milk powder mixture. Mix well. Allow to set. Pipe or decorate as desired. A few drops of rose essence can be added if you like a rosy flavor. Now the variations, there are quite a few variations for barfi. If you would like to make a pista barfi or pistachio barfi, use the same recipe and you can add in about 100 to 200 grams, depends on how much of pista that you would like to add in. I would say about 150 grams, 100 grams should be fine. Ground pistachios, add it to the powder mixture. Once you've sieved it and you know the mixture is ready, add your pistachios, ground pistachios to that, and add a bit of green food color to the syrup. Mm-hmm. Just a bit, just to tint it, give it a light green color. And, well, I don't know if this essence is available countrywide. It's called Nandi, N-A-N-D-I, pista essence.
Mm-hmm.
That essence seems to be really good. I usually use that in my pista barfi. I've tried various other essence for pista flavoring, but I'm not happy with them. The only one that I like is the Nandi one, and it's usually available from Shan Spice.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jazakallah for this. It was actually the barfi recipe. And now we go to the next recipe. It's called the Chana Magaj recipe.
Okay, for Chana Magaj, heat 30 grams of butter and 1/4 cup of milk. Heat 30 grams of butter and 1/4 cup of milk and sprinkle over chana flour. So be careful, it shouldn't be too hot, you're going to burn your fingers. Just dip all your fingers in to the butter and milk mixture and sprinkle liberally over the chana flour. Once the milk mixture is finished, rub the chana flour mixture between hands and form a sand-like texture. Rub the chana flour mixture between your hands, that the palm of your hands, and form a sand-like texture. Braise this mixture in 1.5 cups of solid ghee. So what you would generally do here is first let the ghee melt, and then add the chana flour and braise it over medium heat until it's light brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where the tricky part comes in. Make sure that it's light brown. not starting to burn on the sides, and you shouldn't be confused between a lighter brown and it not being cooked at all, because you've got to remember the chana flour, once you're going to add it into the ghee, it's already going to give you a dark beige-ish color. So you've got to braise over medium heat until light brown.
Okay.
Then remove from heat, allow it to cool, add half a cup of Nespray milk powder, 1 teaspoon of ilachi powder, half a cup of chopped toasted almonds, and 300 gram icing sugar. So once it's cool, you're going to add half a cup of Nespray milk powder, 1 teaspoon of ilachi powder, half a teaspoon of chopped toasted almonds, and 300 gram icing sugar. Mix well. Form into squares or decorate as desired.
So you actually take your 30 grams of butter, 1/4 cup milk.
Yes.
Right. Then you heat that and you sprinkle over 500 grams of chana flour. Yes. You basically just sprinkle it over.
Just do this. You know, you just sprinkle it like you're just sprinkling something, or, you know, like the way you would sprinkle water on your face.
All right.
So you sprinkle this whole, the 30 gram butter and the milk until the mixture is finished over the chana flour.
All right.
And then, you know, what it does, it gives it a grainy texture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed, chana makers, you get the smooth variety and you get the grainy variety. Mm-hmm. This one would give it a little bit of a grainy texture.
All right. Mm-hmm. So quite an easy recipe.
Alhamdulillah, it is quite easy.
Okay. Let's now go on to the final recipe. It's called the gulab jamun recipe. So this is the rich one, basically the Mithai one that actually got lovely.
It's a variant to the Mawa gulab jamun.
Yes.
Mm. It's the one that stays all the time in the syrup, the soaked one.
Mm.
You get the other variety that, you know, you make into like finger shapes and then you dip in syrup and then you take it out of the syrup, let it drain and store. This one here stays in the syrup all the time.
So it's really bad for diabetics?
Definitely is. Definitely is.
Okay, but tasty tea, Rabia.
Very delicious.
I
know I've got a sweet tooth. If there's gulab jamun around, I'm the first one that can't resist it.
Well, one of the listeners just sent me a message on the light, and she said, oh, what a mouth-watering topic today. Indeed it is.
Indeed it is. Definitely is.
Okay, let's continue with the gulab jamun recipe.
Okay, for gulab jamun, it's 250 grams of Nespray or Klum, or you can even, I've noticed that you get a milk powder in quite a few of our spice shops that's a no-name brand.
Yes.
It's just written milk powder. I think that should be fine if you try that variety as well. So it's 250 grams of Nespray, 2 tablespoons semolina or soji.
That would be your tasty wheat.
Yes.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of ghee. The ghee should be level tablespoon. Don't put too heaped ghee. It will make the gulab jamun break when frying.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 level tablespoons of ghee. 2 tablespoons of flour. 1/4 teaspoon ilachi powder. 2 tablespoons of baking powder. And cold milk to form dough.
Mm.
I'll go through the ingredients again. 250 grams Nespray or milk powder. 2 tablespoons semolina. Soji, tasty wheat. There's so many names that we call it by. So any one of those. 2 tablespoons of ghee. Level tablespoons of ghee. 2 tablespoons of flour. 1/4 teaspoon ilachi powder, 2 tablespoon baking powder, and cold milk to form dough. Rub ghee into dry ingredients. It's not much of a ghee, so you just rub it with your fingertips into the dry ingredients. Mix everything well together. Add just enough milk to make a dough. But bear in mind, the dough should not be too dry and it shouldn't be too wet. However, it should be a bit soft, because as it stays, it absorbs the moisture. It might get a bit dry and a bit difficult to roll into balls.
Okay.
So you add enough milk to make a soft dough. Roll into small marble-sized balls and fry in medium hot oil until nicely browned. These gulab jamus will be quite dark in color. They won't be too light, mainly because of it constitutes of the Nespray. So you're not going to get a very light color on them. Add hot jamuns to warm syrup. Do not add the hot jamuns to hot syrup. The jamuns are going to start breaking down because both hot. So you've got to cool the syrup slightly. And once the jamuns are out of the oil, I usually let them drain on a paper towel for about 5 minutes and then add it to the syrup. For the syrup, it's 3 cups of sugar, 3 cups of water, and a few strands of saffron. You let that boil for about 5 to 10 minutes. You should get a consistency. It shouldn't be too thick where it starts spinning thread. You know, they call it the one thread consistency.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like that. It should just start sticking. When you put put a little bit on your finger, you should just start feeling the stickiness of the syrup. So once that syrup is done, let it cool for a while. Add your gulab jamuns to that. Warm gulab jamuns, not boiling hot also, you know, as I told you, after you've drained them for a while, add them to the syrup. You can serve immediately, you can leave it in the fridge, that's entirely up to you.
But it stays in the syrup all the time.
It stays in the syrup all the time. I prefer leaving it in the fridge because at the moment our temperatures are really crazy, so if you're going to keep it outside, there's no guarantee on, you know, how long it will last.
Even though it's raining, but it's still humid, it's still hot.
The humidity is still there.
Okay. Yes, and Jazakallah so much, Rabia, for coming in and sharing with us, you know, all about mitai as a recipe. We really appreciate it.
Jazakallah for calling me.
I'm definitely going to try the parfait recipe.
Inshallah.
Now, with the parfait and the mugaj, can you actually nozzle it? Can you scoop it?
With the parfait, you can nozzle it. With the mugaj, you can't nozzle it because of the chopped toasted almonds inside. However, if you do want to nozzle it, don't put the almonds inside. You can always use almonds for decorating.
Okay, but you can cut it into your diamonds.
Yes, you can cut it into shapes. You can scoop it out into balls and put it into your paper cups. Anything. There's a lot of ways of doing it. It all depends on how creative you are and how much time and effort you are willing to spend on the decoration of the mitai.
Yes. And, well, it certainly is time-consuming, and there's basically an art to make it. I suppose as you go along, you will learn how to perfect it and how the heat as well.
Exactly.
You know, how to judge your heat, your ingredients.
Yes.
And I think you need to use the finest, pure ingredients as well.
Exactly.
To make to get a lovely end result of it.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the main thing with anything today, irrelevant of what it is, whether it's cooking, baking, sewing, any creativity, practice makes perfect.
Yes. Rather your WhatsApp number, not your phone number, your WhatsApp number in case you want to ask you any questions.
083-572-4905.
Okay, this is just your WhatsApp number. You can just WhatsApp the Rabia, and she will respond to your question during the course of the day. And this one says, how many cups is 500 grams, and how many gulab jamuns do you actually get out of this recipe?
From the 250 gram, you wouldn't get more than 20-25, not more than that.
And how many cups is 500 grams?
Usually for flour, we count 120-150 grams for a cup. I wouldn't be 100% sure because you must remember everyone's cup is a different size. Some have a 250 milliliter cup, some have a bigger cup. So the best way would be to weigh it and then maybe, you know, just check with a cup. Because I usually use a scale when I make mitais. I don't like to chance it, like, you know, just tell you,
correct,
okay, it's
going
to be 2 cups or 3 cups.
You've got different flours, like flour, sugar,
icing sugar all have different measurements.
Best to use a scale, yes.
And not only that, we all use different size of cups.
Absolutely, yes.
So the standard cup is a 250 ml cup, but rather measure, you know, accordingly, use a scale. There is no shortcut to it because if you're going to use a cup measurement and it's going to be, you know, you're going to be chancing it. Let me put it that way. So rather use the scale. Be 100% sure that you've got that amount. When it comes to my mitais, I prefer using a scale.
Okay. Jazakallah once again, Rabia.
Amen.
Inshallah, you're back in the studio with us next week again on
Inshallah.
A different topic indeed. Yes.
Inshallah.
And
Jazakallah.
All listeners out there as well, the recipes are on our website, www.radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to internet, Uncle Yusuf will be be faxing the recipes to you or just making a copy. Sister Faiza is not in today. She's not feeling well. We request to ask for her full recovery as well. So from me, Amara, and my guest, Rabia, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.